let him go. Have you not heard me call? Beloved, come forth. Beloved, come forth. For I have commanded that the grave claws have been removed from you, and your life is a resurrected life. It is a life of freedom, my beloved. It is a life of freedom in me. And my light, just like Gideon put light in earthen vessels, I have put my light in you to shine in the darkness, to go and rout out the enemy. And I have sent you to those who are lost. So be my light and know that you have a life of resurrection, of victory and freedom, says the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do thank you and praise you. We do lift you up and exalt you, for we do know that we have that resurrection life, that resurrection power in us. And we do thank you that you dwell within us. And so that illumination, that brightness shines forth. We do desire to in all things represent you, that the world sees you in us and is drawn towards you. We praise you and thank you. You be glorified in our lives and in all things. It is in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning, except for Aaron. Aaron has to come up here and join me. This is kind of a weird Sunday for me in that I'm so excited that Moran is here with us. And as you guys know, I don't have guest speakers very often. But it's also a really sad day for me because this is Aaron's last Sunday with us. He'll be going off to the Naval Academy Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Aaron has been, I've known him since before he was 1 year old. Don and I have had the distinct honor and privilege just to be able to be an influence in Aaron's life. I've watched him grow into a man of God. I know a lot of adults that haven't been as bold, Aaron's faced persecution for his faith. What I see in this man just makes me proud. This is kind of weird because all the time he was growing up, I used to love when I'd have all three kids. I'd take them for a day. I'd always be able to touch Aaron's head because it was always, now I can't, it's hard to kind of do it. Donna, why don't you come up here? And if I could have just all the Dunn family come up as we pray for him. As they're coming up, though, as Aaron goes off and we pray for him, those of you that know me, you know that I always have little stones. Stones are important to me. I always have little stones in my pocket. And people say, are those worry stones? They're not worry stones. These, to me, are a constant reminder of who I am in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Peter himself said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, he said that we're all living stones being built into a spiritual house. So our lives, we are stones in him being built into a spiritual house. And I've watched this young man being a living stone built into part of the spiritual house that God is making. And it's kind of cool because when you look at the Old Testament, it says that, you know, Jesus is the cornerstone. The Bible tells us he's the cornerstone and he's the capstone. And the cornerstone is part of that foundation. It's part of that foundation that we build upon. And of course, the capstone means the crowning achievement. It is the crowning glory. So Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation. He's also the capstone. Well, in building those spiritual walls, in building those spiritual houses, we are all the stones in between. He's the foundation, we're the living stones, and then he's the glory, he's the capstone above us. So I've watched, and I know that God's going to use him in just amazing ways in all the years to come. But what I wanted to give you, because I know you can't take much with you, because I have stones, there's two men in my life that were huge influences. In fact, the two men that have been the biggest influence in my life have been my pastor, who helped me become a spiritual man of God, and my stepfather, who taught me what it was to be a man of God, and he taught me unconditional love. This is my stepfather's stone. He had this for 20 years. This is one of the few stones that I have. I've only ever given away one of my stones before. So this is my stepfather's stone. I want you to have that and know that as you have it, Donna and I are always praying with you, and even though you're gone, it doesn't stop our role as shepherd and those who love you. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Why don't you guys just come put your hands on Aaron. I'm going to have Donna start to pray. If any of you guys want to say anything else, feel free to do so.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the honor of being in this man's life. And is it hard for all of us to release him? You've had an anointing on him since he was born. You have plans for him. You have specific specific things that you want him to accomplish. We've watched as you've brought this to pass, things, times when we didn't think that he would, was going to be able to get accepted. We knew that this was your plan for him and that you brought it to pass. Just thank you. I thank you for surrounding him, protecting him. We pray Psalm 91 over him, that guardian angels will surround him and protect him. In their hands, they will bear him up, lest he dashes a foot against a stone. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your love. And thank you for bringing him back home safely to his family and to all of us.
Lord, we just thank you and praise you. And as a church body, we make the commitment to always remember Aaron in our prayers. And Holy Spirit, as you bring his face before us, we make the commitment that we will. Seeing his face, we will lift him up and pray for him. But we thank you and praise you for him. In all things, we know you're glorified in his life. We thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Mark and Diane, you look at these three kids, and now Tom's a part of them too, but you look at these three kids that they raised. You want to talk about good parenting? Just look at the fruit that comes from these three kids. Okay, so I am so thrilled that Moran is here with us today. And before I introduce him and invite him up, I just want to show a video that gives you an idea of what his ministry is like and kind of introduces you to Moran. I got to talk a little bit while Donna gets back to the sound booth. But this will just give you an idea of what his ministry is. And then I can't wait to hear the word of God that Holy Spirit has given Moran to share with us this morning.
Hope for Israel's main aim is to make disciples. And therefore, we have developed a threefold vision, a vision that is changing the life and bringing much hope in the future of the young people in Israel. The first part of the vision is a youth group called Neria. Neria means light of God.
Neria for me is just like a family.
A place where I was encouraged to be myself.
It's a safe haven.
Neria started through a group of four young Israeli believers who wanted to see a change.
Neria is just a place that I can grow in my faith. I have my friends there standing with me. I have my leaders there for me.
It's like a home.
It's exciting to see how this group have grown. And today we have about 70 kids from 10 different congregations.
Neria is a zechut, lo lekulam yesh et ha'hizdamnot hazot levalot im kol kach harbe bnei noar.
It's so encouraging to see someone that believes like you, who walks with Yeshua just like you walk with Yeshua.
Get to know other Israeli youth, other believing youth that you don't see a lot in schools.
It just really helped me to, I guess, open up.
You could just see it when we came to that youth group that just God was there and his presence was there.
The second part of our threefold vision is our outreach for the believing soldiers. Here in Israel, it's mandatory for every young man and woman to join the Israeli Defense Force.
כשהייתי בת 18 והבנתי שאני מתגייסת, יותר התרגשתי מיום הגיוס עצמו ופחות הבנתי מה באמת הולך להיות אחרי זה.
It was a huge bang. I wasn't expecting it to be such a drastic change.
There were a lot of dark moments that I did feel not connected to the body around me, the body of Messiah here in the land.
I started asking myself, like, why do you believe in what you believe? Do you really believe it?
I mean, basically, you're alone there. And it brings you to a point where it's either you're with God or you probably fall away, because that's what I've seen, at least from my experience.
The transition into the army can be very challenging for the young believers. And that is where part one and part two of our threefold vision connect together. We are sending a package every 3 months to our soldiers. This package is filled with candies, with a lot of love, but also with letters. Letters that our youth is writing for our soldiers.
Like, we love you, Stephen, and God loves you, and we're praying for you in Neria, all kind of stuff like that.
I used to always write to the soldiers, and suddenly, like, to see it coming back to you, it's, I don't know, it really gives you the strength to go on, and it really lifts your spirit up.
I remember one package that came to my base, big package full of sweets and candies and little notes that people write.
If I felt not connected, suddenly I felt connected. If I felt not a part of something, suddenly I felt part of something.
Once every 2 weeks, we have a meeting for them where they can come together, that they can share their struggles, that they can be prayed for and pray for one another.
I could be open and talk about why the army is difficult and the struggles going through.
You can just be yourself. You don't have to be all happy. You don't have to be all, you know, fake or something. You can just be yourself.
We have developed the third part of our threefold vision in order to follow through. When our young people finish the army, they are facing a new challenge. That is the challenge that I call the reality of life. We try to find out with them what their gifts, what their call for their life. We also give them scholarships. Scholarships so they can go to university. Scholarships that with those scholarships they can earn a profession.
Not only God is with me, but someone else, even if I don't feel it, is praying for me, is loving me, is caring about me.
Behind the people, there's also lots of people I don't know from all around the world who are supporting and encouraging and praying.
No matter what happens, they're there for you.
Neria doesn't just end when I finish school. It goes on with me through my life, through the first stages of my life, through the army, through the university. They're there. They're there.
The hope that they have right now, that is the hope that we want them to take out. That is the hope of the Messiah that we believe will change the future of this country.
So I met Maran, Donna, and I did in Israel just this past January when we were there. And this was on a pastor's tour. So this is 40 pastors and their wives. And I remember the first time being on the bus and seeing our guide speak, and also Maran get up, and I thought, how is this man? He's got 40 pastors and their wives. And, you know, pastors get a pretty strong idea in their mind of what they believe. And I thought, how is this man going to be able to share the word in such a way that's going to impact 40 pastors who may be a little bit resistant to hearing someone else? And the very first time I heard Maran speak, it was at Jaffa. And we were standing there at Jaffa looking over that ancient port, and you see the beautiful Mediterranean Sea. And he started talking about Jonah and the great fish, and he tied that in to Peter, who was also in Jaffa so many generations later. And to tie those two together beautifully, and I remember sitting there thinking, the things that he says, now understand what I'm about to say, what I love about Maran's teaching, and all, he was the main teacher the whole time we were in Israel. And what I love about Maran, I cannot give higher praise than this. I love the fact that when I see someone that is not just repeating something that was learned from books or education, I could tell right away that Maran is someone that is hearing the Holy Spirit. And now this is, take this the right way. He has, it's an elegant simplicity to the word that he brings. When I say simple, I don't mean that it's simple, but I mean it's elegant in the ability to have deep things that you can easily grasp and understand and make you go, ah, I've never seen that before. I could spend a whole lot of time, but, and Maran, we've taken a lot of time, so you go as long as you want. Don't worry about the time frame that I gave you. But I could say so much about Maran, but this is what I would like to say as we bring him up. All of us can't embrace him, but would you please just embrace him with your love and appreciation for the word he's going to bring today with your applause? Maran Rosenblatt.
Thank you, Pastor. No pressure here. Well, shalom and good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be here with you, and I do pray for those of you who could not be here. I know yesterday I was catching a flight from New York. I landed yesterday in New York, 2 days ago in New York. I came from Israel. there's a feedback that is really getting in my ear. But it's okay. We're not going to let the enemy whisper in my ears stuff, right? But I landed in JFK coming from Israel 2 days ago. I left my wife and my kids there, and yesterday I was catching a flight. We landed, and then the ground crew was saying, we can't believe they let your airplane actually land because of the weather. I said, thank you for the encouraging news that they can't believe that they will actually let us land. But I'm very glad to be here. And I'm glad to be here because I believe that you are a group of people who love the Word of God. And as a result, you love God. And I like to talk to like-minded people. And I do pray and hope that today you'll be encouraged, but you'll also be exhorted. Exhorted to want to have a solid relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that you will have a new appreciation and understanding of the importance of God's Word. Before I go any further, we do have here the table. I just want to tell you what we have so I can get it out of the way real quick. A wonderful CD of a beautiful woman. The only one I can say that she's beautiful and stay alive. That's my wife. So I would highly recommend it. There's also a 16-month calendar that the reason why I like it's 16 months because it goes according to the Jewish calendar. So you'll have a lot of explanation about the different feasts, the biblical feasts, and I think it's a great resource for you to learn, but also you will remember to pray for us every day. And that's why I like to give to have those calendars here. Our newsletter and also a card where if you like what you hear, if you want to know more about Hope for Israel, you can sign this card and we will send you our weekly updates via the email. As you heard in the video, Hope for Israel's main aim is to bring the good news of the Messiah back home, back to Israel. The good news started out of Jerusalem. It went to Judea and Samaria, and it reached even this place in Ohio. Hard to believe. But my brothers and sisters, I believe we live in times that it's time to bring the good news back home, back to Jerusalem. And I hope that at the end of this morning, you will have a better understanding of why I believe that we live in such critical times. We have our youth group. We also do a lot of humanitarian work. But I'm not here to talk about me nor Hope for Israel. I'm here to talk about the God of Israel. Yeshua, that's how we call him in Israel. His English name is Jesus, I guess. Said in Matthew 28, he says that all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. All power. Today we prayed. And we didn't pray to a God that is hang on the wall or on a necklace. We prayed for a living God. A God that we believe can stop the floods, can open rivers. We prayed for that God to help those who've been affected by the floods. All powers. And then he said, go therefore. And if you don't mind, I'm not going to be as official. I'm going to take the jacket off because otherwise I'm going to start sweating here. And that's what happens when I get excited. He said, go therefore. Go. One of the problems today that you're facing here in America is that for so many years, believers were sitting, coming to the churches and thinking that by coming on Sunday to church, you have done your duty. That by learning to put a beautiful smile that is really a mask of the reality of what's happening in our lives, we are doing what is right. And we forget that there is a world out there that desperately need to know God. We get so upset during the past few years that the Ten Commandments are outside the court system, that you're not allowed to say prayers in some public places, and we get very angry. But you know why it's happening? It's happening because we have taken God out of our fellowships. He's no longer the center of our fellowships. We get too comfortable. We get fat, spiritually speaking, and we forget that there is a world out there that desperately need to know God. My brothers and sisters, don't wait for those who are in the darkness to come here. Bring the light into the darkness. They need to know God. So when it says go, it means go. Or I like to better say it, as you go, make disciples. It says there, immerse them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then he's giving the definition of what discipleship is. And the definition of what discipleship is not a set of books that you read and now you know how to make disciples. The definition is teach them to obey everything. Not some, not what you want, not what makes you feel comfortable. Everything that I've commanded. Ron, you are now not teaching grace. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm not sharing with you my own words. I'm sharing with you Yeshua, Jesus himself words. Teach them to obey everything. There is nothing that we can do in order to reach salvation. By the byproduct of salvation is to do good works that he has prepared for us before the creation of the world. That's what he called us. Now, a question is, what did he command us? Is it just the great sermon on the mount? The answer for that is very simple. I have a question. Do you believe Jesus is God? Yes? Does God change? Is God yesterday the same yesterday, today, and forever? That means from the first verse of the Bible in the beginning, these are Jesus' commands. These are the things that he has told us to teach, to learn, in order to know who he is, in order to have a greater appreciation of what he has done for us. People come to me and say, oh, and I'm, by the way, I'm out of the message, okay? You said as long as I have to catch my flight later on this afternoon, but until then. I say, we believe in Jesus. He is the living God. Is a fulfillment of prophecies. How do you know it if you've never read the prophecies? How do we know it? So my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage each one of us to take God's word, to devote ourselves to the study of God's word, not to count on every Sunday that you come here and your pastor is teaching you from God's word. But the problem is that if you don't know it for yourself, you will never know that what he's teaching is the truth. I can tell them what I encouraged you to do yesterday, right? I encouraged Todd to do something. To come and to give you the most inspiring message that is not based on God's word. And to make you believe that what he's teaching is the truth. And that's the first 30 minutes of the message. And the next 15 minutes is just to encourage you to know God's word. That's how easy people go astray. And when we go astray, we are going away from God's word. A few months ago, I was reading something that a pastor here in America said. He was showing a lot of love for the Jewish people. He was trying to give. By the way, am I on some type of yes? I just realized I'm talking to an iPad. Wow, that's nice. That's nice, from Virginia. Wow. That's a first. That's a first for me, I have to say. But he was talking to the Jewish people, and he had a lot of love for the Jewish people. Really wanted to encourage the Jewish people. And this is what he says, quote, "America is a promised land. We all know this. Come to the land of opportunity. Quit feeling guilt about what you're doing in Palestine. Jewish friends, stop it. Come home to America." End quote. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you that you'll open our hearts to receive your message. Glorify yourself this morning. Glorify yourself. In your name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in my opinion, the most foundational books of the Bible, the book of beginnings. You may know it as Genesis, but in Hebrew it's called Bereshit, which means in the beginning. God tells our father Abraham in Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Very interesting to note here that God was the one who called Abraham. God said to Abraham, go. God was the one who promised to bless Abraham. God was the one who also promised Abraham a land. God was also the one who said to Abraham that he will bless those who bless thee. He was also the one that says that he will curse those who curse thee. And my brothers and sisters, breaking news, not from CNN for sure, nor Fox News. We have only one of two options: God or the world. There is no middle ground. And if anyone here today you're walking in the middle. You are kind of playing it. God knows where you are right now. And you will have to give an account to that God. You're either facing God and you're back to the world, or you're facing the world and your back is to God. And we need to make a decision. And if we decide God, that means that we have to accept the fullness of God's word, the fullness of God's plan. We can't pick and choose based on what we feel. Because if our faith is based on our feelings, we are in a very dangerous place. Very dangerous place. I say it to my non-believing Jewish friends in Israel. Whether you believe it or not, that's not the question. The fact is that God is God. And the fact is that Yeshua is a fulfillment of prophecies. Now, hopefully, you will believe it. In the same way I say to each one of us here. God is God. And His plan is going to come through. And we need to make a decision. We either follow Him or not. But we can't play games with Him. Abraham, as we know, obeyed God's call. And he started the journey to the land of Canaan. When he arrived at the land of Canaan, God spoke to him once again, saying in Genesis 12:7, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. God affirmed that covenant to Abraham. And here, once again, we see that this covenant includes a land. Here we also see that this covenant is not to stop with Abraham, but to continue to his descendants after him. See, my brothers, pastors like the one that I just read to you what said, don't read the same Bible I was reading. I will go even further and say that they don't believe in the same God I believe in. It's impossible for them to believe in the same God I believe in. Because the God that I believe in is a faithful God. The God that I believe in, I can find great comfort in His plan of salvation. Is the one and only true God. The fact that Israel exists today is a great sign of God's faithfulness. It's a great encouragement for each one of us that we don't just believe in a God. We believe in the living God. Whatever we go through, we can be encouraged. We are not alone. As he said in Matthew 28, and I am with you until the very end. God is with us. Later on, once again, God affirmed that covenant in Genesis 15, verse 7. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur Kashadim to give you this land. And sadly, in your Bibles, it says to possess it. But in Hebrew, it says to inherit it. This land belongs to God. Not to anyone else, belongs to God. God gave it to Abraham and his descendants after him, which means that Israel have no right to decide what they want to do with this land. They are to keep this land and they are to glorify God in the way they care for this land. Nor do anyone have the right to put pressure on Israel to give up an inch of that land. And in fact, Joel 1 Joel 3 verses 1 and 2 speaks of a great judgment that is going to come on the nations that scatter God's people and dividing up his land. Get ready. These floods are just the beginning. Just the beginning of God's judgment. And when it comes, you better be on the right side. In Genesis 15:18, again he affirms that covenant. When it says, on that day the Lord made the covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the river of the Euphrates, the Kenite. Let me do something different, okay? Do you mind, Pastor? Okay, thank you. ויאמר הוא קראת אדוני את אברהם ברית לאמור לזרעך נתתי את הארץ הזאת מן נהר מצרים עד הנהר הגדול נהר פרת את הכני ואת הכנזי ואת הקדמוני ואת החיטי ואת הפריזי ואת הרפאים ואת האמורי ואת הכנעני ואת הגרגשי ואת היבוסי. So much easier saying it in Hebrew. And I just want to teach you Hebrew because in heaven I believe we're all going to speak Hebrew. And you know why I can't wait for heaven? Because you're all going to have accents and we're going to laugh at you. We're going to hear, what are you saying? It's going to be fun. God is repeating his covenant again and again and again. And the reason why God repeats it again and again is because God knows that we as human beings, as men, forget. So he wants to remind us again and again and again so we will not have any excuse. And there are certain things in the Bible that he repeats again and again and again because he wants us to get it. Some of the things that he says only once. But there are certain elements that he repeats again and again. So just to remind all of us what I said so far. It was God who called Abraham. Yes, Abraham chose to obey God's call, but it was God who called Abraham. It was God that made an unconditional covenant with Abraham. Unconditional. There are no conditions so far because God says, I will. I will. I will. It has nothing to do with what you're doing, Abraham. This is my covenant. I'm in charge of it. This is an unconditional covenant. That covenant included a land. That land is God's land, and no one has the right to decide what they want for it. Nobody. Israel will face judgment. Israel is facing judgment whenever we give up a piece of land. I'm not a politician. I don't care about politics. I care about the Word of God and what it says. And I'll devote my life, and I've devoted my life, to stand to what the Word of God says, even if people don't like it, even if it doesn't sound politically correct. The last point is that that covenant was to continue to Abraham's descendant. But Moran, Abraham had more than one descendant, right? Isaac and Ishmael. How are we going to solve this mystery, this problem? Well, let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. In Genesis 17, starting from verse 19, but God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Yitzchak, Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him great, a great nation. But my covenant, but that covenant of Genesis 12, the covenant of the blessing, the covenant that includes the land, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. God again is very clear here about that covenant. Now, one thing to note is that God also decided to said that he will bless Ishmael. And my brothers and sisters, when we look at the amount of land that the Ishmaelites have in this world, it's tremendous. Yet they care so much about one piece of land that is even smaller than the size of New Jersey, the land of Israel. He blessed them with oil. They are controlling you. They are. He blessed the Ishmaelites, but that covenant of blessing, he continued with Isaac. And I want to encourage you, when you read the Word of God, always look for the small words. There are two words from this part that I want to highlight. The first one is everlasting. And I have a question. Is there an end for everlasting? There is no end for everlasting. And the other one is a very small word that says but. But my covenant. That covenant of blessing. It's important to know that. It's important to know that. And then he continued on in Genesis 35 to clarify this covenant. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thou, he called him Israel. God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. And the land, again, you remember the land? And the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you. And I will give you this land to your descendants after you. Pretty amazing when you read this. I wish that pastor would read that Bible. I wish he will read this Bible. I wish he will know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I wish he will base a foundation of what he believes on the Word of God and not on false teaching of the flesh. I wish. It's one of the reasons why I like your pastor. The covenant that God made with Abraham and Isaac was to continue with Jacob, who became Israel. This is an unconditional covenant, my brothers and sisters, an everlasting covenant, and was to continue with Jacob's descendants, the children of Israel. Now comes the question. Okay, so are we to worship Israel? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So why Israel? Is it because of the Israelis' amazing beauty? Look at me and you'll know that no. Is it because of our amazing wisdom or talent? No. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor chose you because you were more in number than any of the people, for you were the fewest people. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness, or it says his grace, to a thousand generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. The God Bible clearly shows us that the only reason that God chose Israel and remained faithful to Israel is because of his love and his faithfulness. My brothers and sisters, the only reason that God has chosen each one of us is because of his love, because of his grace. And the only reason that we can find assurance of our salvation is because of his faithfulness. That's the only reason. There is a beautiful picture of God's relationship with Israel that ought to encourage each one of us in our own faith and our own walk with God. So why is Israel suffering? What is the big deal with Israel? Why was Israel in exile for so long? Read Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, there is a conditional covenant that God made with the children of Israel. That is what is known as a Mosaic covenant. God wanted Israel to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And throughout the generation until today, Israel is rejecting that call. Why? Why? Israel is rejecting his word for a few reasons. The first reason that Israel rejected the commandments of God is that through this relationship, God can reveal to each one of us that we are not perfect, that we are not faithful, but that he is faithful. Another reason is that through the rejection of Israel, God has revealed an amazing plan of salvation for all the people of the earth, including the Gentiles. If Israel will not reject God, guess what? You will not have salvation, those of you who are Gentiles. It's very simple math. Because if we accepted him the first time, then no place for you. But because of Israel's rejection, salvation has come to the Gentiles. That is not, or was not done, so you will say, oh, I've got God, and they don't. God knew that Israel would reject him. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. All of us are sinners, my brothers and sisters. All of us. But as the same Isaiah also says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. God still has a plan for Israel. How do I know that? Isaiah 66, verse 8 says, Who has heard such a thing? Who have seen such a thing? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? Jeremiah 16, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of the north and from all the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to the land which I have promised their forefathers. And breaking news, turn on the TV, you'll see that Israel exists. That's how I know that God's plan for Israel never changed. The fact that Israel exists today is nothing but an amazing miracle. An amazing act of God's faithfulness. My brothers and sisters, we live in some very exciting times. And this is not just a saying. It's a reality. It's a reality. The fact that Israel exists today, we get to live in the times that we get to see fulfillment of prophecy. I don't know what about you. I'm excited about that. Isaiah would have dreamt to be living in those days. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they got a bunch of problems for what they said. And we get to live to see it in front of our own eyes. Make a decision. I've started my message with encouraging each one of us to make a decision. God or the world. We live our lives as such as, oh, there is always going to be tomorrow. Hello? You just had 24 hours of rain. Forecast said 3 more days of rain. Anyone build an ark? No, it's reality. We live like there is tomorrow, but tomorrow may not come. Make sure you are right with God today. God's word speaks about the suffering of the people of Israel. Hosea 5:15 says, I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. And then it continues on to say, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days and will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. God allows the suffering of Israel, the suffering of the Jewish people, simply because he has a great desire for us to come back to him. God will allow the nations to gather against Jerusalem because he does not want the inhabitants of Jerusalem to find their hope in America or anyone else but him. I even foresee a reality that is already happening in Israel, that even between us, we will not have that joint strength together. We will not be able to look at one another. He will bring us to a place where we will find him. That's what happened to me. I lost several friends in suicide attack in Israel. I was angry with God. It was only when I came here to America and I heard about God that I was starting to seek and look for the truth. And then I found the truth. I found my Messiah. God allowed everything to be tore from underneath me in order for me to find him. God will bring Israel to a place where we will have nowhere else to look but to see him. Brothers and sisters, Jesus himself was in some ways repeating the words of the prophet Hosea. He said to Jerusalem in Matthew 23, verses 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I've wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are unwilling. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you shall see me, you shall not see me until, again that word, until you say the words in Hebrew, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, in English is blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And to conclude everything I said so far, from those verses there are three things that I want us to understand. The first is we see Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, however you want to call him, great love for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. How much I wanted to gather you together, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. So you know what? I'm going to let you deal with your own trouble a little bit, but not forever, until you turn back to me. Let me give you a picture or illustration. Hopefully my English is working today. I have three sweet kids. My youngest is Noya, beauty of God. My middle one is Eden. She came to us from the Garden of Eden. We're not sure if it was before or after the fall, but she's there. And my oldest one, his name is Oriah, which is light of God. Now, Oriah, when he grew up, would sometimes, until today, he's testing me. He's 9 years old, but when he was younger, back at home, we have a couch. And there is something that Oriah loves to do. He loves to jump on the couch. You know, parents, you know what I'm saying, yes? You remember when he did this? Jumped on the couch, yes? And I tell him, Uriah, stop. Come on, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to continue to stop. If you're not going to stop, you're going to fall. You're going to hurt yourself. Well, guess what happens? He continues, and I let him do it because I want him to learn. So he jumps, he falls, and then he starts crying. And what does Uriah do after he cries? Help me. Runs to daddy. That's if mommy is not around, right? But he comes to me and he's crying and he says, Abba, Abba, which means dad, dad. And I look at him and I say, away from me, you evildoer. No. No, my brothers and sisters, I actually get on my knees and I hug him and I comfort him. But I just gave you a picture of what some who considers themselves followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are saying about Israel. That says because of Israel's rejection of God, that now God is rejecting Israel and has adopted a new son named the church. How can it be? It can only be if they don't read the same Bible that we read. That's the only way anyone can come to such heresy, false teaching, anti-God teaching. Because if God rejects Israel after he says, I will, I will, I will, if this is not an unconditional covenant, then you and I, my brothers and sisters, are in big trouble. Because that means that God can change his opinion about any of us. If it's based on Israel's obedience or disobedience, then you and I are in trouble. There is no grace. The second part, and I'm very close to end, that is important to understand, is that the times that we live in are times that not just God is gathering his children back to the land and we see the land of Israel, but we live in the times where we see the children of Israel turning back to him and say the word, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I'm one of them. You don't believe I'm human? Come pinch me or let me pinch you and you'll know that I'm human. You saw a video with a bunch of kids today that are turning back to God. There are more and more of us, more than ever than in history, that are turning back to God. The time of the returning of the Jewish people to God is coming near. Exciting. But with that comes a responsibility. The only place that there is a direct condition in the Word of God for the second coming. How many of you want to see him? You still have some work, because not everybody wants to see him. Okay, so you still have. But the only place that there is a direct condition for the second coming of the Messiah is here. He said to Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Which means that you're not going to see him here before Jerusalem will turn back to God. Now we understand Psalm 122, verse 6, that commands us in present tense to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When we are praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we are praying for the second coming of the Messiah. You want to see the Messiah? Start at least by praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to do something in order to see Jerusalem come to the Messiah. In conclusion, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. My brothers and sisters, the only reason why God allowed the partial hardening of the heart of the Jewish people is that salvation will come to the Gentiles. And the reason why salvation has come to the Gentiles is that the people of Israel will see the way you live your life, will be jealous, and will want to have the same relationship that you have with God. And that will not come by boycotting Israel, by talking bad about Israel, or by giving false teachings that you have replaced Israel. That will come by the way you live your life. Wonderful picture. God gave Israel the assignment to be a light unto the nations. God gave the nations the assignment to be a light unto the children of Israel. Now, if their transgression be riches for the world and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection be reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? The day of Jesus' return to earth will be the day that the Jewish people will accept him. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem will say the words, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Make a choice. Make a choice. You're either with God or not. And if you say that you believe in God, if God was challenging you today by some of the words that I was saying, I exhort you, before you come and confront me, go and study the Word of God for yourself. And then, if I was wrong, come and confront me, and I will repent publicly. I am on camera, so I will do that. But if I'm not wrong, I believe you're going to find an amazing story of an amazing relationship, an amazing promise, not just between God and Israel, but between God and each one of us. Thank you. God bless you.
You know, when we were in Israel, we were standing right outside the Temple Mount, and that's the first time I ever heard Moran, what he just shared with you about Psalm 122. So we're sitting there in front of the Temple Mount, and you're looking at the steps that lead up to the temple. So these would have been the very steps that Jesus would have gone up three times a year through all of his life. And you're looking at those steps going to the temple, and that's where he shared from Psalm 122, and it just changed the way I viewed things, thinking about every time that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we are praying for the return of Jesus Christ. That's just an awesome way to view that. Jesus, we do thank you and praise you just for the word that you always do bring us. We thank you for Moran. We lift him up. We lift up his ministry. He didn't have time to share, and he just didn't share the things beyond the video. But we've seen the impact that his ministry has on so many lives. So we lift him up. We lift up his ministry. You know the needs that he has. You know the needs of his ministry. You know the needs of his family. We just lift them up, and we say thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bless them, that you lead them and guide them as I see that you do, that you provide every need that they have, that Moran can continue to do the things that you've called him to do and set before him, both in Israel and with just the contacts he has here in the United States as well. So we thank you and praise you for that. I thank you that your word always, it never returns void. So as we just contemplate and think about the things that Moran has shed, you continue, Holy Spirit, you continue to just show us new things. We praise you and thank you for that. Now as we get ready just to give of our offerings to you, our love to you, I thank you and I praise you that as each one gives, that you your word is always true. And we cannot outgive you. And that you always, just as people give, you're going to return it back to them 30, 60, 100-fold. But I also know that all the money, all the gifts that we give, you're going to use that to advance your kingdom 30, 60, and even 100-fold. That's what we believe, and that's what we thank you for. You know all the needs that are represented here today. So I just lift them up, and I say thank you, Jesus, that you've taken care of all those needs for the healings, for the encouragement, for the hearts that just need to be touched. And you need to be a salve to those hearts. In every area of need, I thank you and I praise you as I speak your blessing on each one in the authority of your name. Amen and amen.